Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Tuesday, December 10th, 2024. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter How It Works on the bottom of page 63, the fourth paragraph, beginning with Next, we launched out on a vigorous course and reading through that one paragraph ending with Get Down to Causes and Conditions on the next page. Today's readers are Jen P., the 12 steps. Janice is PM is reading the 12 traditions. Our big book readers are Nancy P. in the text, Ashley F. on page 164, and Kathy S. is normally our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Chris W., and our second hour moderator is Christine G. The share IDs for Monday, December 9th, 2024, are 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21,978. Now that's 21,978. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting was 21,979. That's 21,979. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence in the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which were suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jen P. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, good morning, Rick. This is Jen P., recovering compulsive overeater from the state of New Jersey. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Jen. I will now ask Janice P.M. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you so much, Rick, for your commitment and reliability to do service. My name is Janice P.M. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversies. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much for stepping in, Janice. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter How It Works. On the bottom of page 63, the fourth paragraph, beginning with, next we launched on a vigorous course, and reading through that one paragraph, ending with, get down to causes and conditions on the next page. I will now ask Nancy P. to begin reading.
Hi, good morning, Rick. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Next, we launched on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in our lives, in ourselves, which had been blocking us. Excuse me. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. Rick, you'll time me, please. So to launch means to shoot out into space, or shoot away from us with force. And if anybody's ever watched a launch of a rocket, they actually light bombs under it to get it to overcome inertia. And that's practically what I had to do to recover, is light bombs under myself. And I had this bomb that had gone off. I had a crisis in my family with my daughter, and I was helpless and hopeless and despairing. And you know, I came into this meeting on the advice of a friend, or not advice, but, you know, she gave me the info. And I did this for the second time. I went through the Big Book Step Study process for the second time. And the first time I did it, I had a perfectly adequate sponsor, and I wrote my fourth step 1 hour a night, 6 nights a week for 3 years. And it was 550 pages long, and it didn't take. I ate for 13 more years. Then I did a real personal house cleaning with a sponsor who gave me very specific instructions. And it was 6 pages, 18 resentments, and I have not had to hurt myself with food since November 30th of 2017. So I just finished my 7th year. So, but that's not all. Like, this is like, I always think about Passover, you know, the song Diana, like it would have been enough if they had just done this, but no, God is good. Not that I really believe in God. But anyways, so stopping eating is a vital and crucial step. But next we have to make a list. So anybody who's afraid of the fourth step, don't be afraid. It's only a list. It doesn't mean that you have to do anything yet. And it's, I call this the wind up. The pitch is step five when you say it out loud. But we made this decision 1 through 3. We are the elements that we diagnose ourselves and decide, and then we start. And this is just a list. Before you undertake anything, you make a list of what you have to do. And we make this list immediately, and then at once after that, we continue. This step isn't even into action. It's in how it works. And I was afraid. I didn't want to face and be rid of the things in myself which had been blocking me. I love my resentments. I love my fear. I love, you know, my sex conduct. I loved all that stuff. It made me comfortable, even though it was holding me back. But I don't know how I got where I was. I just had this conversation with somebody yesterday. Somehow I woke up one day and I had put the food down. Somehow I woke up one day and I had progressed in my recovery. Somehow I woke up one day and found my resentments one by one melting away. Somehow I woke up one day and discovered that I was happy, joyous, and free. I was helping other people. I wasn't hurting myself with food. I was comprehending the word serenity, and I was knowing peace. This process, I'm just going to wrap up. This process was the kickoff for all of it. And, you know, the bomb that got lit under me, one thing and one thing only, say it with me, surrender, 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 and with that I'll pass.
All right, thanks so much for getting us started, Nancy. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name, first initial to get on the share list. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Lisa B. South Carolina.
Lisa B.
Janet,
from Virginia.
Janet B.
Janet B.
Janet B.
Bonnie B.
M.
From Virginia.
Rita
okay.
R.
Okay.
M.
All right.
Angie.
So hold on just a
Loretta
second.
H.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right, so here's who I have, and I know I missed some people. So I've got Arlen G., Bonnie B., Janet B., Rita, Loretta H., Anne Marie, and did I miss anyone who's already given their name once?
Lisa B.
Lisa B. from Virginia.
So I've got
Lisa
two
B.
Lisa
from
B's.
Virginia. Yes.
Yep.
And
so,
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Gotcha. Okay, who else in
and
that
Ashley
first?
Ashley F.
Amy
I'm sorry?
G.
Amy?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Amy G.
Ashley F.
Okay.
And Trisha D., Georgia.
All right. Okay, guys. I think what we're going to do is we're going to stop there unless you already gave your name once. We've got a good list here. So, Harlan G., Bonnie B., Janet B., Rita R., Loretta H., Amory M., Lisa B., South Carolina, Lisa B., Virginia, Amy G., Ashley S., Trisha D. Harlan G., you're
Thank
up.
You very much, Rick. Thanks for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. When I look at this, I'm reminded of a few things here that are very, very much directions. They are very, very important. It says here, next. It doesn't say in a year. It doesn't say in a month. It says next. We're going to be given two time frames here. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning. Why does it say first step? This is the fourth step. Why do they say the first step? The reason is because this is going to be the very first step that we're going to take that has action in it. There's no action in step one. You put down the food, obviously. There's no action in steps one, two, or three. Steps one, two, and three are conclusions of the mind based on the information in the doctor's opinion in the first four chapters. Do you believe in your heart, in your soul, that you are a compulsive overeater? And if you do believe that, the belief or the depth of that belief will mark the urgency that you will work the rest of the steps. Do you believe or are you willing to believe that a power greater than yourself could restore you to sanity? Doesn't say you have to believe. It just says, are you willing to believe? Step three is both a beginning and a decision. It says here, on page 64, though our decision, he's referring to step three, was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once, not in a week, not in a month, not in days, at once, followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. What are those things? The five character defects and their manifestations. People will say all the time, I have 93 character defects. No, you don't. According to the big book, you have five. Selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, fear, anger. Those are the five. The rest of these things are behaviors that are manifestations of these defects. So in other words, what we're going to be doing here is we're at a shopping center, and we want to know where a particular place is, and what do we look for? You are here, and that's what we're doing. We're going to uncover, discover, and discard the things that had been blocking us, and we're going to get to work right away, and we're going to see the words in a couple of days here, fearless and thorough. The biggest mistake I made was put in a word that's not there, and that was perfect. I wanted to do the perfect fourth step, and I wasn't going to endeavor upon it until I was perfect so that I could get this great recovery and never have to do any work again. The word perfect is not in there. It's not part of it. Fearless and thorough.
Good for a reminder,
right,
huh?
I'm out of time. I'm out of here. Thanks, Rick, for your service. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Harlan G. from Arizona. All right, Bonnie B. You're up next, followed by Janet B. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, thanks. Good morning, everyone. So the words that jumped out to me this morning were get down to the causes and conditions. For me, this is my personal experience. It's never what it appears to be. When I do a 10 step and I look at like what's in that column one and two, you know, 10 seconds or less, that's not what it is. That's not what it is. It's not what it is. So getting down to the causes and conditions is what allows me to see for the first time where I'm tied up, where I'm in knots. I love the fact that Harlan you know, highlighted the title, Selfish, Self-Seeking, Dishonest Fear. And then all the behaviors. I do look for the behaviors because the definition of abstinence is refraining from compulsive eating and or behaviors. And I've got behaviors, a whole bunch of them. And so when those are highlighted for me, and this is what happens in this step for me, I get to, like, again, take a deep breath and ask myself, what's really going on? I'm trying to run the show. I'm trying to control the situation. So getting down to the causes and conditions took time for me, and it wasn't a once and done. I couldn't see what I couldn't see. I do believe for me it's been like an onion. Little by little, things have been peeled away, and what used to be really hard to see is so obvious now. It's visceral. Just know it means I've disconnected from my God, and I need to pivot very quickly. Lean in, look up, toss it back, and surrender it all. So I mean, there's so much to share on this paragraph, but those are the two words that jumped out to me. The goal for me is to figure out what is it that's driving the bus. Because if I can't figure that out, I certainly can never get control of the bus. And I know control is the issue. So with that, I'll pass. And thanks for your service, everyone.
All right. That was Bonnie B. from Florida. Thank you. Okay. Janet B., You're up next, followed by Rita R. Go ahead, Janet.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So there are actually four things that stood out to me in this like awesome paragraph. First, the word next. Well, next means there was something before it. So they're talking about, I'm going to do this like fourth step, but it's after I have surrendered my life to a loving God. If I'm just trying to do a fourth step and analyze my resentments, my fears and my harms and all that, without having turned my life over to a God who I believe loves me, a God who I trust, then I'm just doing some kind of like pseudo self-therapy. I can do this. I can have the courage to look at all my ick because I've come to believe that my loving creator can restore me to sanity. And I've just surrendered my life to him. So that's the first thing. Next has to come after a surrender to a loving God. Then it says, right, though our decision, our third step decision, was vital and crucial, it couldn't be permanent unless we do this work. Okay, wait a second. They are telling me that if I do this work, if I follow up with clearing up the wreckage of my past, my recovery can be permanent. There's a saying I've heard sometimes, people say relapse is part of recovery. No, it really shouldn't be. I mean, unfortunately, it happens to us, but ideally, we make a decision to surrender to God, we clear away our past, and our recovery can be permanent. And the third thing it says, we make an effort to face and be rid of the things which had been blocking us. It's my job to face them, to identify them, to admit them to God, to myself, and another person. But then God gets rid of them. God removes them in my seventh step. What a good God he is, right? He could say, Janet, you made this mess. You created all your resentments. I'll just sit here waiting for you lovingly until you remove them. But he knows I can't, so he removes them for me. More reasons to love and trust this God. And finally, it says, our liquor was a symptom. We had to get to, we had to look at the things which had been blocking us. So often people say, food is what blocks me from God. But that's not what our book says. Our book says that we are blocked from God by our character defects, our resentments, and our fear. And when I'm blocked from God, I have no defense against the food when it calls to me. It is not food that blocks me from God. If I'm in the food, that's evidence that I am blocked from God because of my lousy spiritual condition, because I'm riddled with resentment, fears, and all that other stuff. So I have to get rid of the things that are blocking me from God so that he can come and place me in that position of neutrality where I am safe and protected. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Hi, everyone. This is Rita R., a compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Thank you for all the beautiful shares today. May I be heard?
Yep, you sure can.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Rick, for your service. So the personal house cleaning, I really wanted this to be a one and done, but it really isn't. That's, you know, of course I wanted that. You know, anything that got in the way of what I wanted, you know, Rita running the show, I wanted to just be done with like that. And, you know, even this morning, I had to look at the behaviors that block me and put me into fear, you know, and be rid of these, face them. And what I had to face was, you know, these parts of me that still don't want to grow up. And I really, you know, I was with them this morning, me and my higher power. And it is my higher power that does the healing and helps these parts grow up. You know, I had to look at my selfishness and go into a holiday fair with somebody this weekend, need to make an amend with her. My selfishness and wanting things to be the right way in another relationship. And also I had to look at a part of me that was, you know, 3 or 4 years old, got bit by a parrot and took it personally. And, but, you know, it's it's all good. It's all good because going to God and having these, you know, taking the inventory, looking at this, you know, it just clears away and makes me be more useful to the world and to my fellows. And I think that's all I want to share. So to all the newcomers, please don't be afraid. It just will help you grow and be more joyful. Thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Rita R. from Massachusetts. Wow. Loretta H., you're up next, followed by Anne-Marie M. Go ahead, Loretta.
Good morning, Rick, and good morning, all. This is Loretta H. from North Carolina. Thank you all, along with my precious God. You are saving my life. Especially welcome to that newcomer. Please keep coming back. So the cause, I've looked up causes and conditions. So causes are the reasons for the event, while conditions are circumstances that influence the event. And for me, that third column was as important as the fourth column, because that's where my actions come out. You know, my self-esteem, my security, my ambitions, my pocketbook, and my relationships. And that's why I go into fear, why I go into self-seeking, why I go into selfishness and dishonesty and resentment. It's because, again, it's about me. And when it becomes about me, I need to look at that because I am not. I think I hear some background noise. That causes that selfishness, that causes the dishonesty. So for me, that third column, and I actually look at myself as an artichoke because I'm Italian, and you know those little pricks around the artichoke? Well, that's what I'm trying to remove so that I can get to the heart of my, you know, of who God wants me to be. And I do a, every time a sponsee goes through their step work, I use my 11th step to look at defenses of character, and I work on them again in a 4-step. So with that, I pass, but that third column for me is just as important as that fourth column, because I am that artichoke, and I am really prickly when I'm in my defenses of character. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Anne-Marie M., followed by Lisa B. And go ahead, Anne-Marie.
Good morning, Russ. Thank you so much for taking the meeting. This is Anne-Marie M., miraculously recovering from compulsive overeating, and so very grateful. I live in South Carolina. Yes, we had to launch, and I'd like to share my recent experience. You know, when I picked up, my sponsor didn't shove me off. We reviewed what we needed, what happened. We looked at my behaviors, and it wasn't about the food. You know, it was about, you know, the causes and the conditions. And we launched. We immediately got into the steps and reviewed what had happened. It did a 4th and 5th step, and I'm just moving right along. And, you know, honestly, I could have been finished by now. I procrastinated some, and I know that's very dangerous for me to not continue going. Someone just coughed. Not continuing on frequently. So anyway, I am moving along and going into my 8th and 9th step, excited to finish this and to get back to what keeps me abstinent, and that's working with others. You know, when I work with others, I stay in the big book, and staying in the big book keeps me connected to God. There's the answer. My relationship with God is the most important thing in my life today, and I'm just so very, very grateful. It used to be getting into my skinny jeans. That was used to be the most important thing but today I am so grateful that my relationship with God is so very, very important to me. And I think I'll pass with that. Thanks, Rick.
Okay. Thank you so much, Anne-Marie M. from South Carolina and Lisa B. from South Carolina. Before you get on there, I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're in the chapter How It Works on page 63, down at the bottom, the fourth paragraph, beginning with next. We launched out on a vigorous course, and we're reading through that one paragraph, ending on the next page with get down to causes and conditions. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day.
Lisa's going to share. I'm going to share.
Yep, go ahead, Lisa, you're up.
Yeah, it sounded like you were going to take some more names.
I know, I was. Sorry, I was reading my I got carried away.
That's okay. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm here in South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. This is such a powerful reading, and all the shares have been so powerful. I recently went back through the steps again. I do them often, and so many new things come up for me. So I wanted to share. I love where it says face and be rid of. It's like be rid of it, because this is the stuff that I just don't like, you know. I want to be rid of it, and it's the stuff that's blocking me. And, you know, each time I do this work, and each day and each month and each year with abstinence and sobriety and these steps, you know, I do get to experience more and more of my higher power's love. And I'm just a slow learner. I really, really am. I'm finally just seeing the little bits and pieces. Wow, he really does love me. He really does want to have a relationship with me. And I want to be rid of these things, you know, that are blocking me. And in the next chapter that we're going to read, in step 5, it says, these things are about to be cast out. And I always say to people, it's not too be good to be true. I can take this book, literally. Like, I can take it literally. They're not just saying these things like permanent recovery and about to be cast out and be rid of these things. It really does happen. And getting down to causes and conditions. So my recent journey through the steps again, I do see these patterns of the selfishness, of wanting to play the director. You know, life is not following my script, wanting things my way, not accepting life on life's terms, resisting reality. And I see blaming others and circumstances for my problems, you know, going to those character defects. And then what happens is the character defect triggers my reaction. And my reaction is like what creates the chaos, you know. And so anyways, I have to keep coming back, and I'm so glad it's not a one and done thing. But this morning in prayer and meditation, I really was seeing so clearly my higher power, my creator, is the lover of my soul. He did knit me in my mother's womb. He knows me so well, and he wants me to be closer to him. And his grace provides me the willingness to want to keep moving towards him. And as an addict and an alcoholic, these steps are the path, you know, to point me in that direction. So I'm so grateful to be here, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. from South Carolina. Okay, and Lisa B. from Virginia, you're up next, followed by Amy G. Go ahead, Lisa B.
Great. Thank you so much, Rick. And my name is Lisa B., and I am a compulsive overeater in Virginia. And what I really loved about this paragraph are the real powerful words that jumped out at me, the vigorous, the strenuous. Vigorous, when we do things vigorously, we're doing things with a great energy and enthusiasm. And strenuous requires all of my effort and strength, something that you do with a lot of energy and force. And what that puts me in mind of is when I go to the gym, I like to do the elliptical because it's easier on my bad joints. And sometimes I'm not in a very vigorous mood. I'm not real enthusiastic, and I'm lazy. And I'm just kind of going through the motions, you know, to say I did the elliptical. I'm not putting in all my effort. I'm not doing a strenuous job. Now, am I getting something out of it? Well, sure. You know, I'll get something out of it. But am I getting everything out of it that I could potentially? No. And so basically that's how I look at this. If I go into this with an rigorous, thorough job, and I'm really going to put that strength and effort into it, then I'm going to get out of it what I put into it. And that's going to be a thorough house cleaning. And hopefully, you know, like it says further in the paragraph, I will be rid of the things that are blocking me from my higher power, from God. And I don't have to get rid of them. I'm going to be rid of them, which means God is going to take over and remove those things from me. So fantastic shares, everybody. Thank you so much. It's great to be here and have a wonderful day without pests.
All right. Thank you, Lisa B. from Virginia. Amy G., you're up next, followed by Ashley S. Go ahead, Amy. Amy G., hit star one. Okay, I think we're going to move on to Ashley F., and then we'll swing back around to Amy. Go ahead, Ashley, if you're ready.
Good morning, Rick. Ashley F.
Oh, I made it back. Sorry, technical difficulty.
Oh, it's okay, Ashley. Sorry, we'll you just come right after Amy. Go ahead, Amy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk over Ashley. You want me to go, Rick? I was having technical difficulty.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. This is such a powerful paragraph. I agree with everyone. What wonderful shares. You know, this idea of which has been blocking us, right? I feel like we are now embarking on a search and rescue mission here, because what's blocking me? Why is this so important to unblock? Well, it's what's blocking me is these causes and conditions, you know, the springboards from my character defects that trigger my restless, irritable, and discontent, right? And what is the purpose of this book is to find a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. That's the main purpose of this book, page 45. And how do I, if I'm having things that are blocking me from having that power, boy, I better get on a search and rescue mission to figure out, uncover, discover, and discard what are the problems, what are the behaviors. And frankly, if I don't address the causes and conditions, then I'll never even get to the bottom of it, which is those character defects, right? In Doc Op, it says, why do we eat, right? It's because we're restless, irritable, and discontent. We have a case of the rids, right? Or as a friend of mine would say, itchy, bitchy, and twitchy, right? And then we are triggered and want to sense that ease and comfort that comes at once from taking a bite, right? So I need to understand at the surface, what are the causes and conditions? And it's, you know, we have been reading about this for the last couple of pages. I mean, I can ask myself questions based on what's on page 60, for example. Am I running my life on self-will? Is that successful? Am I trying to run it by self-propulsion? Is that working? How did that work for you? Page 61, am I a self-seeker? Am I a victim of delusion? Do I try to wrest satisfaction and happiness by managing and controlling? Am I a producer of confusion rather than harmony? Have I acted self-centered and egocentric? I mean, it just goes on and on. The next page, self-will run riot. Driven by 100 forms of self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity? And most of all, have I been trying to play God? Right? Talk about causes and conditions that block me to a power greater than myself that I need to recover. This step is life-saving. Step four is a life-saving journey that helps me understand the ism, the inside me stuff that's going on that triggers those restless, irritable, and discontent behaviors and actions. And thank God that we can do this because we don't do it alone. And as others have said, we have a power greater than myself constantly that all we have to do is be willing to turn towards, to ask for, and to be relieved of. We just read that prayer, relieve me of the bondage of self. And it is myself, my character defects, and my behaviors that are at the bottom of this. So I better start taking a look at it. And thank goodness I have a process right in front of me that I can begin that job. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy G. from Maryland. Ashley F., you are up next, followed by Trisha D. Go ahead, Ashley.
Good morning, Rick. Ashley F., recovered, not cured, in Kentucky. There are a couple things that catch my attention in this paragraph. One of them is that it says, a personal health cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. And when I worked the steps, when I was given the opportunity to work the steps from the Big Book in 2022, after having been here, meaning OA, for 16 years, I thought I had attempted this. What I know now is I was doing the 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, which doesn't work. It has, and it tells me also in this paragraph, that has little permanent effect. And then it also tells me that there's going to be strenuous effort. I mean, the short version is this might be painful. This is going to suck. But even when I did it quickly, which is the way I was taught to do it this time, even quickly, it was emotionally painful. And my ego, myself, shows out. It does its best work when I'm in emotional pain. And even when I do 10, there's a degree of discomfort there, but it provides me with my first opportunity in this process for me to stay and see and seek. Like, I'm a runner, so I want to run away, as has been said by somebody I adore. I'm a relief-seeking missile. And this part of, like, stay, it gave me an opportunity to stay to see what's gnarly inside of me and to see the, if I had ever stayed to see what was gnarly or do anything strenuous or hard, anything that took effort or was strenuous, I had a scone and a fancy coffee and a minimum by my side. I wasn't doing anything that took effort without some form of dissociation or comfort from something outside of myself. But I had my first opportunity to see fully open without a dissociation, without a distraction, and then to seek my first chance to kind of imagine and seek ease and comfort from my higher power. But higher power as the first 100 understood it, which is loving. That's the adjective we get about the higher power, because process, I was under attack from within. There's nothing loving, tolerant, or kind that lives inside me when shame starts to show up. But the book says that you guys, or the first 100, believed in a loving God, and that I was to surrender to that. I was told to turn my mind off, and thank God I had a sponsor who was kind. But if I started to pause or slow down, she would say, hey, remember, here's what happens if we don't do this. I end up with my face in the food. How about you? I'm like, oh, yeah. So anyway, thank God. Pass.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ashley F. from Kentucky. Trisha D., you're up next. Then we get a couple more names. Go ahead, Trisha.
Good morning. This is Trisha D. from outside Atlanta, Georgia. And I just thank you for all the beautiful shares that I've heard this morning. They have really touched me. I see this paragraph where it says we've launched on a program of vigorous action. You know, it took for me, I've been with Vision for almost 5 years now, but I had not been doing my fourth step consistently over again. And it took a relapse for me to finally realize, wow, you know, I was in so much denial, so much dishonesty of thinking that I was doing okay. Well, I wasn't doing okay. And it took that, again, the best thing that happened to me was that I did go into back in October to have a serious relapse, which I'm coming, praise God, out of it right now. And I'm just so grateful for over about a month and a half now of abstinence. But it took this doing this vigorous action, going into my fourth step again and fifth step with my step guide. And it said here, I had to make a decision. And I was like, I was so afraid and so scared that I was going to go even worse. And I would not be able to get my abstinence back. And it wasn't me, it was God. I'm powerless. I am so powerless, and realize it more and more. So I had to make this strenuous effort. It makes this a permanent effort to face and be rid of the things in myself which had been blocking me, and I was blocking God's grace coming into my heart and soul, to realize that I had to relive the steps every day, all 12 of the steps, not just a couple of them, and to face my fears and my insecurities. And when I did my fourth step, I also realized that so many of my resentments from 4 years ago were still coming back up. And so I say this to the newcomers out there, or to those who have been in relapse or have paused in doing a fourth step, please do not put it off. Go back, because those fears will come back and resurface again unless we do the action to actually implement a plan through the guidance of your sponsor or step guide to help you see where you have been in self-seeking and selfish, dishonest, and fearful. And all those behaviors as a result of that, how I judged myself, judged others, criticized myself, criticized others, had this perfection performance mentality, you know, where I was also not living in reality and also upset with God on things of my past. I had to let go of and surrender. I am just so, so grateful for this step four. It has given me such a freedom that I have never known. Thank you. And I'm just so grateful to share today and pass this, my personal experience, strength, and hope. Thank you. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Trisha D. from Georgia. We'll get a couple more names. We are at the bottom of page 63 on the fourth paragraph, beginning with next we launched, and we're reading through that one paragraph, ending on the next page with causes and conditions. We've got a couple more names. Who would like to go?
Ginger C.
Okay, I hear Ginger C and Janice PM. Go ahead, Ginger. I thought I heard Ginger C. All right, Janice PM, you go ahead and go, and then we'll swing back to Ginger.
Okay, I'm here. Thank you. Thank you, Ginger. Of course, all right, we've heard a lot of things in this ideas, words, and you know, it just, you know, didn't just happen, but vigorous, what else is it? All the same, vigorous, crucial, strenuous. These are action words, and what they're teaching me here is, guess what, Janice? This is the path. This is the way you're going to get your solutions to your vigorous actions of eating compulsively and in searching. And I tried everything, and I don't know about you, but I know I was very vigorous and energetic to get the right food plan, to get the right meeting, to get the right sponsor, to have the right husband, to have the right child. I did everything that I could. Well, now it's telling me, okay, after we make the decision, there has to be some rigorous action for personal house cleaning, not cleaning up them and it and circumstances, cleaning me up, personal. And that means the 12 steps. But there has to be a beginning to know. And that this fourth step helped me to find out who I am, who I was. No wonder I couldn't get a stop eating. Well, I could stop, but I didn't have permanent recovery. I was always starting vigorously to start again. Well, you know, this is the reason. These are the reasons why. So I found out who I was, and who I was through a power greater than myself. I went to many meetings, and they were in the fourth step, and I said, I don't know what I'm doing here. There's nothing wrong with me, the alcoholic, my husband, blah, blah, blah. But of course, but I had to find a power, and I did. The choice was, do I want to continue living like this, or do I want to die? Because in all my life, I was trying to find vigorously the right food. Oh, if it could only be this right combination. I did so many things to do that, as that is because I thought that was the answer. It couldn't be me. You know, it couldn't be. It had to be something else. So the personal house cleaning means the 12 steps, the beginning action will be step four, to find out the reasons why I thought like I did, I acted like I did, I ate like I did, searching what I did to get better. Maybe that's the answer. Well, you know, it's really something else. And then, of course, I began to understand why. Yes, thank you. Why I was so blocked and I wanted that food and other things. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Ginger C, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Hi, Ginger.
Oh, good morning, Rick. Thank you so much for your service. I always push mute right back, and then it's like, oh, got to unmute again. So thank you. Ginger C, a real compulsive overeater out in Colorado, and just so grateful to be waking up yet another day out of the food. Today marks 3 weeks, which is just a miracle. I can't tell you in this relapse how many mornings I woke up determined to stop, to surrender, to jump in the car, and then within hours I was back at Starbucks and all my fancy foods. So I'm just, again, amazed by God's grace, and I love the things that are in ourselves that are blocking us. You know, my issues are in my tissues, and I don't have to go dig for them. God will bring them to me. God will take care of them for me. But I just have to keep the food down no matter what, one day at a time. I just don't pick up. And then I just watch this glorious work unfold. And I'll just say, for somebody who's relapsed or relapsing right now and in the pain of eating, a lot of people call me, what happened and how did you get out of it? And, you know, if it were so simple to surrender and just put the food down and get going and jump in a car, I think we would have our rooms filled in OA. It's a grace. It's a window. It's an opportunity from this higher power. And if the window rolls down, just get through it before it rolls back up, because it won't stay down long. But I know for me, 100%, there is one step that is vital to the whole rest of the steps, and that is step one. And I never took it completely. I never took that 100% step. I was still holding on in some way, and that is why I believe I have been relapsing in OA for many moons. It's been a long time. So, again, I'm so grateful that God came to me the way he did a few weeks ago. It was pretty sudden and profound. And I'm just praying that I never go back to the greatest lie, because it's a nightmare. And once you start, you don't know if you'll stop. And I can't believe, again, it was almost a 5-year relapse. So just so grateful to be with you all. Stay, continue to do what always has worked. And I just wish you all a blessed day.
Thank you, Ginger C. from Colorado. All right, we're out of time, and thank you, everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, December 10th, 2024, is 21,980. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Well, Ashley F., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Waiting for the recording to be stopped.